Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Lisa Mullins. There's a quote that writer Bill Littlefield had in the back of his head as he was writing his latest novel. It pertains to those pesky little questions we have about life, like what's it all about and what are we doing here anyway? The quote, "We're here to get each other through this thing, whatever it is." Littlefield thinks our getting each other through life is a form of mercy. He's called his new novel Mercy, and it doesn't have anything to do with sports, even though Bill was the longtime host of WBUR and NPR's Only a Game sports program. Nope, it has to do with the neighbors who live in a middle-class suburb of Boston, where the lawns are nicely landscaped and the residents run the gamut from a couple with a young boy to a mob boss named Arthur Balladino, who has returned home after a long stint in prison. Bill Littlefield, how did the idea of mercy become the thrust of their stories?
I wish I could say that the idea of mercy inspired the whole thing, but it didn't. I started with a little vignette about a little boy playing an imaginary baseball game in the backyard, and his dad is watching him, and his dad is telling a friend that he's very uncomfortable with the fact that the boy has asked, "What happens when you die?" And the man is explaining, I just didn't know what to say. I tried this, I tried that, oh my goodness. And his friend is trying to reassure him that he's done just fine. And the proof that he's done just fine is they look out the back door and the little boy is playing this imaginary baseball game and just having a wonderful time. So whatever the father has said hasn't fouled the boy up in any way.
It satisfied this kid. And he's worried that he might have corrupted the kid's brain for life.
He's worried that anything he said, the kid would pervert into something that would make him miserable and keep him from falling asleep at night.
That germ of a story led to a series of stories, all of which take place in this neighborhood, among the people in the neighborhood. And again, give us that through line of mercy and how you saw it coming back as you were in the process of writing the book.
I think the beginning of the appearance of mercy is with the friend consoling the father, saying, "Just don't worry. It'll be okay. Look, he's happy. Look at him out there. Yeah. He's healthy and he's happy." But as I started writing other stories that were taking place in the same neighborhood, as you said, I began to see that there were connections between the stories and between the characters. And the connection was that they all either had achieved or needed to achieve forgiveness and mercy. And they had to be in some way comforted. And sometimes they did that by remembering things that had happened, and that things that they had known and seen and experienced much earlier in their lives. And some of them experienced by making new relationships. You spoke of Arthur Balladino, the man who spent most of his life in prison and comes home to die. His widow is left alone in a big house. Of course, she's been alone for many years because he's been incarcerated, but at least he's still been alive. And she makes a new relationship. She finds life in a new relationship, and that's the mercy that rains down on her, that changes her. And all of the characters, to some extent, have that connection.
So mercy can be an expression. It can be a happening. It can be inconspicuous. It's not something, as you say, that's kind of necessarily delivered on somebody.
Well, but it can be. There, as you ask the question, one of the things that occurs to me is my favorite episode in the book. One of the characters is a kind of associate of Arthur Balladino, associate of the mob boss. And he's had a terrible life, and he lives alone in a crummy room, and the traffic is noisy outside his nighttime sleeping. But much earlier in his life, as a teenager, he's sick, hungover on the beach after a debauch, and just wants to be left alone. And a woman he doesn't know, a young woman he doesn't know, comes up and grabs him by the arm and hauls him into the ocean. And he falls on his face, and the waves roll over him, and it's freezing cold, and he suddenly jumps up. And first, of course, he's confused and angry about why this has happened, and then he realizes that he has no headache, and he feels wonderful, and the cold water has completely cured him. And he says to the young woman, hey, how did you know how to do that? And she just shrugs, because she doesn't know how she knew how to do that. She just did it. She just delivered. And it's a merciful act,
right,
that she
like
can't explain. And he's, yeah, well, a sexy baptism in a way, too, because he remembers her much later, all his life. And, of course, remembers her as beautiful. She must have been beautiful, right? Think about what she did. She must have been. that's his point of view.
So that carries him through the rest of his life. And
well, it sustains him in the sense that he remembers it, and he remembers being worthy of that act. He wonders whether anybody will ever be that kind to him again. And there's a passage in the novel where Gibby, the name of the character who is baptized, if you like, and Francis, who is his associate, they're kind of minor criminals. And he tells Francis the story, and Gibby says, I don't remember her name. I guess I knew it then, maybe. I mean, she must have known me, right? Why else would she pull me up off the sand and drag me into the water, skinny guy holding his head? I don't remember what she looked like either, her toes, I guess. I guess I saw her toes and her laugh. And today, maybe she's dead. I mean, a lot of people from then are, but if she'd asked me right then, that day on the beach, I'm splashing around in the shallow water, going under, rolling around, and if she'd asked me to marry her right then, I'm good. Yeah, let's do this, I'd have said. This afternoon's good for me. That's the kind of impact that the event had on Gibby.
It's almost as if these acts of mercy, large or small, give us something to hold on to.
I think that's exactly right. They don't disappear from people's lives. And some of them are far more long-lasting than that very short encounter on the beach. Some of them involve people's lives changing, people falling in love. And that is very much the message in the novel. Some of the acts are very large, and some of them are very small. I mean, a relationship where two people commit themselves to each other for life is very large. At least in the lives of those two people.
Especially when things can just go bad really fast.
Absolutely. And a young woman pulling a young man into the sea is very small, but very large at that moment for the man who suddenly made whole.
By getting rid of his hangover.
Absolutely.
Bill Littlefield, thank you. It's a really beautifully written book called Mercy. Bill Littlefield, thanks again.
Thank you very much.